Okay, good evening, everyone. In the last year, which was Thursday night, we continued with the halachos of chala, of afreshas chala, and tonight is the third shiur. We're going to continue. We said last time the shiur for taking off chala, to be obligated to take off chala, if a person has 2.64 pounds of flour or more, then they need to take off chala. If it was 4.95 pounds of flour or more, then they take off challah even with a bracha. A dough that which does not have the required amount of flour is exempt from challah, even if later it expands in volume, even if it expands before the baking process. But if it doesn't have the required amount, then a person does not need to take off challah. And challah is only taken off when it is from the five grains. I don't think we mentioned that yet. Only if it's made out of wheat, barley, rye, spelt, or oats. Also, if it's made into cakes or cookies, many times it doesn't have the amount, the shear. It's very complicated by cakes and cookies in general. As far as a thick batter or a loose batter, we don't take off challah when it's a loose batter, only if it's a thick batter. That's a little bit complicated. Probably more nogea, more by a bakery when they make lots and lots of cookies and lots of cakes. But be that as it may, it's only if it's made from wheat, barley, rye, spelt, or oats, not if it's like a cornbread or something like that. And this is also only if the intention was to bake it, not if it's to fry it or to boil it. So if somebody boils noodles or to fry blintzes, we say that you do not need to take off challah. It's also nogea if a person makes sufganiyot. Anyways, it can't be a thin batter, but if a person makes, like jelly donuts for Hanukkah time, also we don't say that there is challah taken off. And that which when a person does need to take off challah, this is also even if you'll break it into small pieces. Let's say you're making not a big challah, a bunch of big challahs, but you're making it into small challah rolls, bokalach. As long as it's baked at the same time, and it doesn't have to be in the oven at the same time, but it's just that you're not saving it for later, then a person would need to take off challah. If you are saving part of it for later, then there's no hafrasha if each of the portions are too small. If a person has two small doughs, that we say that each one is not obligated because each one is small by itself. Let's say you're making one batter, one dough less than 2.64 pounds from, let's say, flour, from wheat, and another one from oats or something like that, that there it's two separate doughs. So then there may be ways to combine them, then now you are chayev. Now you are probably not obligated to put them together to make them obligated in hafrasha, but it could be it's a nice thing to do. So again, from 2.64 pounds of flour or more, you are obligated. So let's say you have two doughs of 2 pounds of flour each. So each one is not obligated. But if you put them together, one way to do that is called neshicha, which means if they cling to one another, you put them next to each other on the countertop, that they cling to one another so that one moves when the other one does. So then that makes you obligated. And I would think that if you have, let's say, not 2 pounds of each, but let's say you have 3 pounds of each, that each one now is obligated, but there's no bracha, as we said last time, there chances are you would be obligated. It would be a very good thing to combine them together to make a bracha, because then, since 3 pounds maybe is obligated, so you're losing out on the bracha. You can't do it because, you know, maybe you're really not obligated. But since there is 3 pounds of each, probably you should put them together in order. For sure, you'd have to take off hafrasha anyways because they're each 3 pounds, but this way you'll be able to make the bracha of on the hafrasha's challah. Even further, the truth is, the Paiskim tell us, let's say it's placed in the same basket, and after it's baked, even after it's baked, it's placed in the same basket, meaning you bake two separate doughs, 2 pounds each, but then you put them now in the same basket after it's baked. So over there, that could be chayiv, because the halacha is a very, very important halacha, that let's say you bake challah, and you realize after you baked it ready, oy, I never took off challah. So the halacha is that you could take off challah later, even once it's fully baked, even with a bracha. As far as if you realize this on Shabbos, we'll have to get to that Bez Hashem next time, but during the week, you can take off challah even if the challah is fully baked, and you're even able to make a bracha if it is that size. So since you're able, technically, to take it off later, if they are added afterwards into a basket and now they're somewhat combined, then the halacha is that that could make them obligated. And the place can tell us that this is nogeya on Purim. Let's say you get lots of small doughs for shalach manas. You get some breads and some cakes and some cookies, and you put them all in one container because, you know, like you always want to separate them, the candy on one side and the baked goods somewhere else. So you put it into one container. Now it's combined, and maybe beforehand they were too small, but now a person can now make that an obligation, then now it becomes chayiv. So a person needs to be careful. Probably you would not make a bracha because, especially if it's bought goods, and someone gives you that for shalach manas, chances are challah was already taken off in the bakery when it was made. That's part of what the hechsher tells us, that the bakery took off challah. Also, maybe the person who gave you the shalach manas made a lot and they already took off challah. But that a person needs to be careful. Maybe it's better not to put all your shalach manas, all the baked goods, in one basket, because that can make them chayiv afterwards. There's no problem if they're all in the freezer together, if they're wrapped separately, even though technically the freezer is one big utensil, it's one big kli, but we say that is not a problem. And by the way, if there is two separate doughs and each are chayef, let's say you have 5 pounds of rye and 5 pounds of oats and separately and 5 pounds of wheat separately, so then each one requires its own separate hafrasha. But you can do it that you put them together and then you do one for both of them. Meaning before we were talking about a case where each one is too small and then you put them together to make them obligated. Here, now we're talking about a little bit different, that each one is obligated by itself. Each one is big by itself to be obligated, but you want to do only one for both of them instead of having to take off twice, so you could combine them. There's a big discussion, how exactly do you need to combine them? Do they need to touch each other or not? There are those that say yes, there are those that say no. I once heard from a shir on Hilchas Challah that it depends if it's in the pan or out of the pan. If it's out of the pan, then they don't need to touch each other. If they are in the pans, then the pans need to touch each other. Fine. Another way is that a towel could be draped over both of them. That's a machlokes, whether that's good enough. There are those that say that is good enough to combine them. But that is halachas that important to know as far as combining two sets of doughs. And also that a person can take off challah at a later time, even after it's baked, at least on a weekday, and then the person needs to be careful when it comes to Purim. Yesterday we learned in Parshas Bahaloscha, we learned that Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to convince his father-in-law Yisrael to stay with them in the Midbar, in the desert. And Moshe Rabbeinu told Yisrael that you should stay with us. Why? Because v'hayisa lanu le'enayim, you will be for us for eyes. You will be our eyes. And the question is, what does that mean exactly? Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yisrael, you will be our eyes, that's why you should stay with us. And Rashi brings three explanations, and I'm sure some of you have heard from me before, that whenever you need numerous explanations to explain something, that just shows how vague the answer really is. When there's only one pshat to something, then it's pretty obvious what the answer is. Rashi says three explanations what that is. The second explanation Rashi says is that anything that is hidden from us, you will reveal. That Moshe Rabbeinu told Yisrael, anything that's hidden from us, you will reveal. So what does that mean? I don't think it means that if someone lost something in the Midbar, that Yisrael will find it for them. Obviously, that's not what it means. So what does it mean that if something's hidden from us, you will reveal it? So I think the answer is that we find in the beginning of Parshas Yisrael that Yisrael heard many things that happened. Matan Torah, Amalek, the Kriyas Yamsuf, and he came to convert, to become a ger because of what he heard. But many nations heard what had happened. But everyone has a different outlook to something when something happens. Like they say a mashal, that if somebody wins the lottery, so his friends are happy for him. His enemies are upset. The robbers, they try to steal the money from him. The businessmen, they try to figure how they could do business with him. The fundraisers feel, oh, how could I get him to give tzedakah to my organization? Meaning everybody looks at a certain situation and interprets it how it is important for them, how it is nogeya for them. Amalek saw Kriyas Yamsuf and Matan Torah, whatever it was, and they said, okay, let's go fight against Klal Yisrael. But Yisrael saw the situation, what's going on, and he looked at it the proper way, and he wanted to join the Jewish nation. So Moshe Rabbeinu knew that Yisrael had that good character trait, that he was able to look at situations and be able to look at it in the proper perspective. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu told him, V'yisalonu le'inoyim, you will be for us as eyes, that if something is hidden from us, you will reveal it. If we're not sure how to understand something, if something happens to us, you will have the proper interpretation and you will be able to tell us the right way, the right perspective. And that's very important, that a lot of times we have situations that arise and we need to sometimes go to Das Torah or go to advice from smart people how to look at it. And many situations, you can look at it in one way, you can look at it in many different ways. And our job, with Hashem's help, is to focus on the positive and to look at everything in the way that the Torah would want us to. Okay, everybody should have a good night.